Hello, friends. It's me, the president of Chickenlandia. Did you know that I have a new book that is now available for purchase? You heard that right. It's called Let's All Keep Chickens, The Down-to-Earth Guide to Natural Practices for Healthier Birds and a Happier World. It's now available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your local bookstore, and more. For more information on how you can grab your copy, just click the link in the show notes. It's so exciting, I can barely handle it. Okay, on with the show.
Welcome to Chickenlandia's 100% friendly podcast, Bok Talk. This show will help you learn all about how backyard chicken keeping can be fun, entertaining, and stress-free. Here's your host, the president of Chickenlandia!
Hello, friends. Welcome to Chickenlandia, and welcome to Bok Talk, your 100% friendly backyard chickens show. I am your host, Dahlia, also known as the president of Chickenlandia. I'm a backyard chicken educator that has found peace and joy in the chicken yard. And it is my mission in life to help you find that too. Okay, welcome back, everybody. Today is episode 17 of season 5. We are going to talk about quarantining your chickens. We might get a little bit controversial today. We might. But at no point am I going to tell you not to quarantine your new chickens. In fact, I'm going to tell you exactly how to do it if you would like to do it. But I'm also going to offer a little bit of nuance to the subject that is really not discussed a lot, at least not among the educators. And I hope that you find it interesting and maybe even a little bit comforting. Okay. I also have a couple of listener questions that were submitted through my website. I'm going to chat with you here a little bit. I'm going to answer those questions, and then I will open up the chat live here on YouTube. If you want to submit a question to Bok Talk, all you have to do is go to welcometochickenlandia.com and go to the contact section. And while you're there, you're going to want to join my mailing list. Just do it. Make today the day you join the greatest chicken mailing list in all of the multiverses, Chickenlandia Nation. All right. Once you join, I will send you a coupon for my online course. It's Chickenlandia's Backyard Chickens 101, a chicken course for everyone. It is a super fun, it is an easy, it is an interactive course, and it is a great way to ask me questions directly, and I actually answer you back. So I know some people get frustrated because they send me questions and I just can't answer all of them. So I have to prioritize my course students. So that's a big plus for the course. I'm super proud of it, and I hope to see you there. Before I move on, I need to make two announcements because I still got to pay those chicken bills. You know, I know you guys noticed we hit 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. That is awesome. You know, I'm making a little bit more money on YouTube, not a lot, but still it's like I make a little bit more money and these chickens, they want more food and they want more mealworms and they want more grubs. So I got to pay those chicken bills. You know, I got to pay those chicken bills. Okay. All right. As always, I want to let you know that this podcast was brought to you by the folks at My Favorite Chicken. My Favorite Chicken is my favorite online shop. To get my feed, I get my non-GMO organic and socially responsible scratch and peck feed. I get my supplies. I get all my fun chicken things like my chicken keychain from My Favorite Chicken. I get fun chicken treats. They've got like one called Chicken Fondue that is super fun. That is at My Favorite Chicken. I will leave a link for you in the show notes with a coupon code. This podcast was also brought to you by the folks at Small Pet Select. Small Pet Select is a small local company to me, and they have an online store that I know you will love. Right now, I am using their a flaked oyster shell. I'm telling you, for whatever reason, my chickens love this flaked oyster shell from Small Pet Select. Okay. And I'm also using their grubs because they have good quality grubs too. They've got another product, the Pet Greens, which are like little sprouts that you can grow for your chickens. Super fun. Lots of great products at Small Pet Select. I definitely recommend them. And you can get all of their products at the link I am going to leave for you in the show notes. I'm going to leave a coupon code for you too. And don't forget, they have fun stuff for fuzzy little animals like rabbits and chinchillas too. I am going to start out reading something that came from a listener. It was sent to me through my website, welcometochickenlandia.com. This message is from Laveta. I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. And she writes, "Hello, I'm new to the wonderful world of raising chickens. I did my research, or so I thought, LOL, and felt quite confident in purchasing 4 Princess Calico baby chicks. I instantly fell in love with them. Then I joined some chicken Facebook groups. And now I am absolutely terrified of all the things that have gone that could go wrong. What have I done? I now feel totally overwhelmed and feel like I absolutely do not know what I am doing. I just ran across one of your videos on YouTube and I found it calming, educational, and encouraging." Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. "I will definitely be watching more. My next step is to convert my shed to a coop and get my girls outside. Oh my gosh. I hope it all goes well. Pray for me, please." LOL. Anyways, thank you so much for your videos. I will be watching more. Thank you so much, Laveta, for your message and for your humor. Actually, I get a lot of messages like that. Okay. So I want to let you know, first off, that you are not alone. A lot of people feel really overwhelmed, especially when they get involved in Facebook chicken groups. Not to say that those groups are bad. You know, some of them are really helpful. Some of them are more helpful than others. And I belong to a few of them, and I've learned from being in them. But they can also really illustrate just how far we've kind of gone from the traditional way of keeping chickens and more into what I feel is like an overly complicated way of keeping chickens, which I don't think is that great for us, you know, ultimately. So what I will always say to people that are just starting out, okay, or if you've already started and now you're feeling really overwhelmed, just remember, keep this as your foundation, okay? Human beings have been keeping chickens for a really long time. Thousands of years, okay? Thousands of years. Have things changed during that time? Yes, a lot of things have changed. Many things have changed for the better, okay? But I really just want you to remember that this practice, like the heart of this practice, it's within you, okay? It's natural. It's a beautiful symbiotic relationship that has traveled over the millennia, okay? And it has worked and been second nature to human beings for a very long time. So when you go in those chicken groups and you get really overwhelmed or you get really confused about something, I just want you to stop. I want you to breathe. I want you to go outside, be with your chickens, and say to yourself, "I got this." Okay, because you do. You got this. I believe in you. All right. I hope that helps. Okay. So on that note, I want to talk about quarantining chickens. Okay. So there's a lot of folks that will say, and I do think the general consensus among educators is that if you don't quarantine your chickens before, you know, like new chickens, before you introduce them to your existing flock, that's actually kind of an irresponsible thing for you to do with both your existing flock and the new birds, because you could possibly be exposing either one of them to diseases that they are not immune to. Okay. And I have to acknowledge, despite what I'm about to say, that is the truth. You know, anytime you bring in new chickens, you are taking a risk. There's just no way, you know, to get around that. It is a risk. And I want to acknowledge that just right off the bat. But the other thing I want to acknowledge, or there's a couple more things I want to acknowledge that I feel are missing from the conversation. And the first thing is that it's really important for us to understand that quarantining new chickens does not mean that we are guaranteed not to bring disease into our existing flock, or that our new flock isn't going to catch something from our existing flock. And that's because every flock has its own things that they are immune to and other things that they have never had exposure to, that they're not immune to. Okay, so any chicken at any time, no matter how long you quarantine, could be carrying a pathogen and showing no illness. Your existing chickens could be carrying a pathogen and they don't have any symptoms. This just means that every single time, no matter how healthy a chicken looks, when you're introducing them to a new flock, it's possible that your flock, your existing flock, can get sick or vice versa. Okay. And I'm telling you this not because I don't want you to adopt chickens. You know, it's not because I don't want you to grow your flock. I just want you to understand and be very clear with the risk that you are absorbing, because I think that's really important to go into, no matter what you decide. That's, you know, you decide what's right for you, but you go into it understanding what the risks are with all the information in front of you. The other point I want to make is that I think that it is largely ignored that not everyone has enough space to quarantine in a way that is considered responsible by by the majority of educators out there. There may be some that aren't like that, but there's, you know, some of the strongest voices are like, okay, you need to have your chickens 30 feet away at least from the existing flock. And I mean, some people live on really small lots. And I feel like they should also be able to make the decision to grow their flock without judgment, as long as they have, obviously, enough space for the amount of chickens that they want to keep or the amount of chickens that they want to bring in. Okay. What I will say is it is I do want to say one thing before I move on. I'm not trying to pass judgment on the educators that are saying this, because they're saying it out because they love chickens. They really, really love chickens. And I also really, really love chickens. Okay. But the other thing with me is that I just think it's really important for more people to be able to have chickens. And I don't want to put up roadblocks in front of people, certainly people that maybe don't have as much space and maybe don't have as much money. I don't want to put roadblocks in front of them to be able to have chickens and to be able to grow their flock if they need to and want to. So that's kind of where I'm coming from with it. It's not just to be like, oh, these educators, I know better than them. Like, I don't. It's just that I'm kind of looking at it in a different way. Okay. Is it the best case scenario to quarantine new chickens before you introduce them to your new flock? Of course, that is the best case scenario. But the best case scenario is just not, as much as we'd love it to be, it is just not everyone's reality. And I believe that it's important to give people options, even if they can't do something perfectly. And I'm going to give you some options here in a few minutes. But first, I want to talk about what the general recommendations are for quarantining new chickens, if you can do it, so that you know what to do. Okay? So again, the general consensus from most educators is at least a 2-week quarantine for new chickens. Some will say 30 days, okay? Honestly, I think that's a tad overkill, because like what I said at the beginning, you know, if you're not seeing something come up in 2 weeks, I don't know if 30 days is going to do it. And that might stress out your chickens depending on the setup that you have. Okay. And it just turns into this really long process. We don't want people stressing out. Like, stress also can cause problems. Okay. So, but you know, of course, if you want to do that, if you want to be extra careful, then absolutely do it. You know, do it for as long as you feel like is what you want to do, you know, what is best for you. During this time, the general advice is to keep the two flocks at least 30 to 40 feet away from each other, okay? And to make sure that there is no cross-contamination. So if you have contact with either flock, what you will want to do is make sure you and wash your hands after you have contact with either flock. Wear different shoes between the flocks. You don't want to cross-contaminate the flocks with whatever's on your shoes. Or you can cover your shoes with plastic film and change those covers whenever you're moving between the flocks, okay? The other thing you can do is clean your shoes with a bleach solution between flock visits, okay? And on top of that, the two flocks should really have separate everything. That's a separate, obviously a separate space, obviously a separate feeding area, you know, separate places where you're keeping their feed. Separate watering areas, just everything, as much as you can keep the two flocks separate, you are going to want to do this. And this is going to give you the best chance of avoiding cross-contamination during that time. Okay. And like I said, that is the absolute best case scenario. Okay. it's great. I can do kind of even where I live. Okay. I do a variation of that, but I'm not as strict as that. Okay. Just to be 100% honest with you, I'm not. All right. And really the reason for that is that I've just adopted birds from all over the place, you know, and at a certain point, it's just like, okay, you get overwhelmed with it if you just take it too far, and then you end up not bringing, you know, I would end up not bringing in chickens when I could, you know, so it's a delicate balance. So if you can't do any of that, what I just talked about, just keep them as far away as you can, you know, as you possibly can. A wall barrier is really good. So even if they're right next to each other, if there is a wall between them, like a garage, you know, you have your chickens out in the yard, you have the new chickens in a garage, in an area in the garage, that would be great. You can practice all the same things. You can wash your hands, you can wear different shoes and all that stuff, and just have that wall separating them. And there's some other things if you can't quarantine them at all. So if you bring them in and you put them in, you know, near your new flock, hopefully you're doing some type of integration process. That's really another thing. That's the best case scenario, because throwing new chickens just into a new flock, into an existing flock, especially if those chickens are young, like those chickens can get hurt and they can even get killed if they're really young. Okay. So we don't want that. Or if they're really submissive, they could get killed even if they're adults. So it's best to follow, you know, a process of integration when you're bringing new chickens into your flock. This is the adopted chickens quarantine protocol, okay? And if you want to have this with you at all times, it is in my book, okay? And you can do this for both the new chickens that you are bringing in, and you can do it with your existing flock when you're bringing new ones in, okay? So, and it's just a few easy steps. So first of all, you can add electrolytes, vitamins, and probiotics into their water for a couple weeks while that process is happening. And you can do this if you're quarantining, or you can do it if you just moved your chickens right into the integration process, okay? So give them during this time some electrolytes, vitamins, and probiotics. You can buy it from the store, or you can make your homemade electrolytes. I have a video about that. I will leave that in the show notes for you. Alternatively, if you don't want to buy anything, if you don't want to make the electrolytes, you can put, you know, just make sure during this time that you're putting apple cider vinegar in their water daily. That is 1 tablespoon per gallon of their water. Okay. And like I said, you can do this for the new birds, and you can do it for your existing flock. You can also add a clove of garlic per gallon of water. You just cut it in half. You can use that with the apple cider vinegar. You know, cut it in half or fourths. Put that in a gallon of, in their gallon waterer. And you can sprinkle oregano and thyme either on their feet or on a scrambled egg or some other kind of treat. You can do this 2 or 3 times a week. And, you know, you can get oregano and thyme. Like you can buy it fresh. You can give it to them fresh. You can dry it and give it to them. You can even just like use the spices if you have the spices in your cabinet. And then there's also like prepackaged immune boosting herbal formulas. Scratch and Peck has one that I really like. It's called Cluck and Good Herbs. Okay. And that has garlic, oregano, and thyme in it, plus some other herbs that are going to be really good for them. And that's just another way of like boosting their immune systems during this time. They're going to be stressed out. So both the new chickens that you're bringing in and your existing flock will be stressed out because they're like, what is going on? There's new chickens. You know, everything was fine. We had our pecking order and everybody was happy. What's going on here? So whenever there's stress, I really like to use a product called Rescue Remedy, and that is from Bock Flower Remedies. You can get it at PetSmart or Petco. You can order it online. I'll leave a link for it in the show notes. You can get it usually at any health food store. Okay. And that's just a couple drops in everyone's water. Okay. And that'll just kind of like take the edge off. All right. The other thing you want to do with your new chickens, especially, is treat them topically for mites, lice, and scaly leg mite. Okay. Trust me on this one. Like, even if you don't see anything on them, go ahead and treat them. You can give them, like, supply them with a dust bath wherever they are. Supply them with a dust bath. You can, if you want, you can just use diatomaceous earth on their bodies, or you can use, you know, whatever other natural product is out there for the mites and lice. There's some natural sprays. There is Elector PSP, and, you know, you could use like a pyrethrum spray. It's not exactly natural, but it's more benign than others, you know. So, yeah, I would definitely do that. And then treat them for scaly leg mite. And the way that you do that is you can – I have a video about that. I will leave that in the show notes. You can get like Vaseline or Andy ointment. You can rub that on their legs. Do it every other day while they're during their integration process. And I would try and do that for a couple weeks. Or you can dip them in just some regular vegetable oil, just up to their hips or up to where their scales end. Okay. And I would just really be diligent about doing that because, oh gosh, I mean, the parasites, when you adopt new chickens, it's a real risk, huge risk. All right. So those are things that you can do to mitigate issues. But whatever you can do, I want you to be happy and I want you to feel good that you are giving chickens a good life and giving them an opportunity for a good life outside of a factory farm. And that's really where my heart is. Like I never want to put roadblocks in front of people. Obviously, I want chickens to be treated well. You know, I don't want them to get sick. I don't want people dealing with illness in their flock. I just want to make sure that everybody knows what they're getting into, that they have all the information, and I want them to feel like, okay, I can do this if this is what I decide to do. All right, rather than saying, well, if you can't do it, then you shouldn't have chickens. You're just not going to hear that come out of my mouth. You're just not. Okay. So yeah, do it. You know, you're doing something healthy for yourself, for those chickens and for your family. All right. Okay. I hope that helps. I hope it wasn't too controversial. I want to move on to our listener questions now. And these are questions that came in through my website, welcometochickenlandia.com. Okay, the first question is from April. Hi, I was hoping you could give your opinion on locking new chickens in their new coop. I keep hearing that you should lock them up for a few days to a few weeks so they understand the coop is home. Just wondering if this is really necessary, especially since I have a predator-proof run attached to the coop. Thanks so much for all your fun and educational videos and podcasts. I have learned so much from you. Well, you are so welcome, April. And I think this is a great question because now if you have like a lot of coops, they have like a predator-proof run attached to it. If your coop has that and you feel confident about them being safe in that run, you know, the smaller chickens are, the more vulnerable they are. So when they're newly feathered, you really want them to be extra safe because they're just like, they just don't even know what's going on in the world yet. Okay. So you got to make sure that they're safe. But if you have a nice predator-proof run and it's attached to the coop, then I think it's absolutely fine for you to put them in the run and let them have that outside time. And then, you know, one thing you might run into, in fact, you probably will run into it, would be at dusk, they might not know that they need to go from their run up into the coop. Okay, so it is very common for them to just all huddle underneath the coop or huddle in the run in a corner somewhere just because they don't have mother hen showing them, okay, you need to go roost now. Like, this is where you go. So you will have to be mother hen in that instance and go out there and take them and put them up into the coop and put them on the roost, okay? If that occurs, if they don't instinctively do it. All right. So that's the only issue I could see coming up with that. But I think it's perfectly fine to keep them in the run as long as it's safe and it's attached to the coop. If you have a big coop, you know, there's a lot of space in there to move around, then they can stay in the coop for a few days. And if weather, you know, if it's like super hot outside, you wouldn't want to do that to them. But, you know, if the weather permits, they can stay in the coop. But a lot of people have their coop is just roosting bars and nesting boxes. And so if that's the case, hopefully you have a run that's attached to it that is safe because you wouldn't want to leave them in a coop like that for days. Okay? But yes, you do need to give them a good period, you know, a nice chunk of time for them to realize, okay, this is where I live and this is where I'm supposed to go at night. Okay? All right, the next question is from Kat. And Kat says, I had 8 chicks I ordered as hens. However, I did end up having 1 roo who was handsome as can be. At around 6 months, he started getting pretty physical with the hens, and he was way bigger than the hens, resulting in damaging 2 of the hens' legs where they couldn't walk. And they started to get picked on by the other hens. That's awful. I am sorry. I have rehomed my roo because of this, and he's in a new home. So that right there is like the reason that no matter what, no matter how much land you have or whatever, always have a contingency plan for a rooster. Okay? Even if you get all pullets, you ordered all hens, if you get a rooster or if you got a rooster on, you know, purposefully, have a contingency plan in case his personality isn't right for your flock. Okay. Okay. So Kat goes on and says, in the meantime, my 2 injured hens have been in my hospital, in my garage, each in their own dog crate with puppy pads. They have both been laying eggs pretty much every day, regardless of their injuries. That is amazing. That means they're going to be okay. All right. That means they're okay. My Barred Rock has been in hen hospital for almost 6 weeks and walking much better. My Black Star still cannot walk very well on either leg. Oh, gosh, these roosters. They get scrambled eggs with eggshells in the morning and they get layer crumble. They get cabbage, apples, and tomatoes. Yay. The coop the others are in is an elevated coop. We're building a new coop for the injured ones, but won't be able to build them a ramp because they won't be able to climb up. Any suggestions on how we can help these girls other than what we are doing? Okay, so I think you're doing everything perfect. I think it's amazing what you're doing for these chickens. I think the fact that you're building a coop for them is just wonderful. You know, they're very likely going to have a great life. You know, they're going to have a better life than most chickens in the world, even though they're struggling a little bit. Like, that's just amazing. I just love to hear that. I think at this point, it's tough to say whether or not they will improve since it's been 6 weeks. They're probably, even if they improve from where they're at right now, they're probably always going to have some kinds of issues with their walking and with their legs. Two homeopathics that come to mind. The first one is Arnica. Now, this would have been really good to give them when it happened. Aconite's another good one to give them when it happened, because aconite is really good for like a shocking experience. You know, something's like all of a sudden something happened, you have this injury, you can't walk, you know, that's something shocking that your chickens have gone through. So I would first dose with the homeopathic aconite in a 30C potency. And then I would give them Arnica in a 30C potency. And the aconite, I would probably just try and give it to them maybe a couple times a day. Or I'll put a link in the show notes of how I dose them. But the Arnica, I would put in their water. And you can even do that now. Like, it's not, I wouldn't give them aconite now. But Arnica, you can give that to them now. And it's not going to hurt them, and it could possibly help them. So an Arnica is really just like for injury, for bruising, for swelling. It can be good for shock too. So I would put that in their water. If after a day you're not really seeing any change, the other one, you could stop using that. The other one to try would probably, and there might be something else I'm not thinking of, but Hypericum is also a good one for like nerve damage. And that one you can also do in a 30C potency, and just for ease of use, I would probably put that in their water too. But if you do see, like, let's say you use Arnica and you see improvement, then at the moment you start to see improvement, you actually stop dosing then. Okay. And you don't start dosing again unless you see them start to backslide. That's just how you dose homeopathics, okay? And like I said, I will put a link for you in the show notes about how to dose homeopathics. But you know, if it for those that are listening, you know, with injuries, any kind of like attack injury, you would think aconite first to help them kind of get past that initial shock. And then Arnica is a really good one for injury. Okay. And then, but for this, there may be some kind of nerve damage there. So that's why I'm thinking Hypericum. Okay. And all, this is all 30C potency. I'm speaking in homeopathy terms, so I might not be making sense to some of you, but I'm really into homeopathics. So if you are into homeopathics, those are a few things I think that could help. Okay. And, but other than that, Kat, you're doing great. You're doing great. So thank you very much for your question. Okay, I am now going to open up the chat for questions. All right, W. Nudson asks, I have Arnica in a gel that I use for myself. Is it available in other forms for the chickens? I don't know that there is an Arnica gel made specifically for chickens. You could maybe find one for pets. I haven't seen one. You want to make sure that it is the homeopathic Arnica. Okay. And I just want to kind of say again, you know, I am talking about homeopathics. So a lot of times people will hear me talk about, you know, aconite or Arnica or Hypericum. And they might say like, well, wait a minute, those herbs aren't good for chickens, or that's not good for chickens. I'm not speaking about herbs or substances like that. I am talking about the homeopathic, which is completely different. Okay. It is not going to be, these are not going to be harmful for your chickens. So an Arnica, a homeopathic Arnica gel, I will tell you, I have used a gel on my chickens. But when I do, I just make sure to rub it in really well so that it's not, I just don't want them to eat it. It's not like it's going to hurt them, but It does contain alcohol, so I don't want them to ingest that. So if I do put it on their leg, like let's say they have a sore leg, or one time I had a duck that had a sore leg, and I put Arnica gel on him, and he was fine after that. So I just made sure that it was rubbed in really well. But yeah, if I had the Arnica, you know, I would look in the ingredients and make sure it was okay, but that there's, you know, make sure that there's nothing else in it that could hurt them. But if I had an Arnica homeopathic gel, I would use that on my chickens. All right. Jennifer Storm says, I let my broody cochin hatch a few chicks for the first time. Yay. They are in the run with mama, but separated from the flock. How soon can they be integrated? Sooner than if they weren't hatched in the coop? Yes. Definitely for that. Yes, for that last question. So this is one of those questions where it depends on the personality of the mother hen, and it depends on the personality of your flock. So if you know, most of the time, a mother hen can hatch out baby chicks right within a flock. And in fact, you know, I mean, obviously, like in the wild, that's what they're going to do. They're, you know, the wild chickens, like let's say you go to Kauai and you're surrounded by these wild chickens, you're going to see flocks and you're going to see mother hens with baby chicks. And they're walking together in a flock. And in a good functional flock with a good rooster and everything, good hens. I'm using the word good, you know, all chickens are good, but sometimes their personalities are different. What you want to see is basically the rest of the flock just kind of ignoring the chicks. And that's normal behavior. And if they don't ignore the chicks, like if they come up to the chicks, that mother hen is going to let them know, you do not get anywhere near them. But if your mother hen is really low on the pecking order, that can be a problem. So you will need to watch them and really see how the flock is acting. I mean, hopefully the way that you have them right now, the flock can see the mother hen and the baby chicks, and they can see the flock. Like they can get near them, but not get completely to them. And if that's the case, you will see their behavior. You'll see if they're like puffing up next to the baby chicks or whatever, whatever the mother hen is doing. You'll be able to observe that. And you can be there with them if you want to open the door and let them out and observe them. Just keep a really good eye on them and see how the dynamics are. I have let my baby chicks out with the flock, you know, with their mother hen. Okay. If you have baby chicks that you've raised in a brooder, then there's a whole process of integration that you have to follow in order to put them together with your flock, because baby chicks are obviously, they're super vulnerable. Even when they're 8 weeks old, they're fully feathered, they're ready to be outside. They're very submissive and they can get killed if you just throw them in with their flock. So you have to follow this pretty long process of integration to get them into the flock safely. Okay. So I do have a video about that. If I remember, I'll put that video in the show notes. But if I forget, you can look, you know, you can search on my YouTube channel and see that video. It's just like, you know, adding young chickens to an existing flock or something. But yeah, I think that usually the mother hen will 100% protect those baby chicks, and you don't really have to worry about it too much. But it depends, and you need to keep an eye on them. Okay? Sequoia says, what is the best way to prevent ducks from dirtying the chicken waterers? The ducks have shallow rubber ponds, but they still dirty my 5-gallon autofill cup. Any suggestions? You know, when you find out, let me know. And I hate to say that, but it is true. Like, unless you put some type of barrier to keep the ducks from, because what they'll do is they'll go get their food and then they'll come and dip their face while they're eating their food. And then the food gets in there and dirt gets in there and mud gets in there. So, and that's how ducks need to eat. Like they eat with water. So it's really hard to keep them out of any kind of open source of water to keep them from dunking into it. You know, if you wanted to, you could try using nipple waterers for your chickens. But in my experience, the chickens will just drink the dirtiest water they can absolutely find. You know, they can find. The way that I handle it is that I will, if I'm looking at the waterers and they're really dirty, I will change them out like a couple times a day, which is a pain, but that's how it is to keep ducks and chickens together. And that's one of the reasons why there are some educators that are like, you know, it's really better to keep them separate. And I do understand that thought, because it makes sense. Like, it is going to be more sanitary for your chickens for them to just be away from the ducks. But I have my ducks and chickens together because, you know, traditionally on farms and everything, they're together. And it just feels right for me for them to all be together. But yeah, that's a tough one. I wish, you know, Chickenlandia presidential advisor, if you have any advice, chime in. All right. Joy asks, since my flock is Marek's positive, my vet says they got it from wild birds. My next chicks will be vaccinated. How long should I wait to take them outside? Antibodies. Gosh, I honestly do not know the answer to that question, Joy. I'm sorry. I wish I did. I will look into that. I really don't know. I would ask the hatchery, you know, because I assume that they are vaccinating the chicks. I would ask the hatchery that question and see what they say. Even they might not know. The other thing that you could do is if you can read the insert for the vaccine, if you can find it online, that might have that information on it. So yeah, I'm sorry. I wish I had a better answer for you, but I don't. I don't know. You stumped me. I don't know the answer to that question. Of course, Chickenlandia presidential advisor, if you know the answer, put it in the comments. Okay, one more question is from James. What can I do to help surviving flock members to adjust to the loss of a flock member they aren't aware passed away? The first thing that you can do is, you know, feel good about the experience that you have given your chicken that passed. You understand that you gave that chicken a beautiful life, more than any chicken could ever ask for, more than most chickens on the face of the earth. You know, you gave that chicken a wonderful life. Your chickens right now will begin to readjust their pecking order. I really feel like they understand death better than we do. You know, I think animals are just more in tune like that. There are flower essences. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but there are flower essences that help. And I'm just speaking about flower essences, not essential oils. Flower essences, which are like, it's like Rescue Remedy. That's a Bach flower remedy. It could also be called a flower essence. It's like a homeopathic, okay? There are some that are geared specifically towards grief. And I will look and leave a link for you in the show notes, but off the top of my head, I can't think of one. And just Rescue Remedy could help too. That will help them to kind of get through the stress of that, mainly of readjusting to the new pecking order. But, yeah, I'm so sorry you lost a chicken. That's always hard. But that chicken was very lucky to have had you. And so lucky that you're even thinking about, you know, how can I help the flock through this? That's a really kind thing to do. So thank you for being that way with your chickens. That's wonderful. All right. I know there are more questions. I am so sorry. Remember, you can go to my website, welcometochickenlandia.com. and send me your questions, and I might be able to answer them on Bok Talk. I thank you guys so much for joining me today. Thank you to my moderator and co-producer, Kelsey Paulus, also known as the Chickenlandia Presidential Advisor. Thank you to Talking to Crows for editing this episode, and to Double M Ranch for their wonderful podcast art. If you enjoyed this podcast, remember to rate and review it. And also remember that you are always welcome in Chickenlandia. Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Dalia Monterosso, also known as the president of Chickenlandia, is a backyard chicken educator in Northwest Washington. To submit your question to Bok Talk, visit welcometochickenlandia.com. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.